Greetings to everyone in the name of Jesus. God bless you. This is Daniel King again with the Daily Inspiration. I have some thoughts here this morning that I'd like to share with you that have been a blessing to me as I was reading here in the Word of God and reflecting on the nature of Jesus Christ, as He is truly our only hope. He is the one who can bring us and to change us, but He is also the one that can that has the power to hand us over to Satan. And I've been thinking about that a lot, about the power that is in Jesus Christ, and that how all things are under His feet, as the Scripture says. It says that He has the keys to death and hell in Revelation. And it says in Matthew that he that follows him in the regeneration, he will make him to sit and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And so we can clearly see that all things are under his feet. Everything is under his control and power. And truly Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has bridged that gap. He has humbled himself and has come down and has been made into the equal to us humans to show us the way to life. And then he ascended again and is sitting on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And so he truly came and bridged the gap. I was reading here in Revelations a few things I'd like to share this morning that have stood out to me. And that is how that the church really is the body of Christ. In some ways, we ourselves are the body of Christ. We ourselves alone, as we walk with Christ, we are the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears of Jesus Christ. But then if you take that a little bit further and expand that picture, you can also see that a group of believers assembling and functioning together, interacting and working with each other, are also the body of Christ. You know, now you see one member as the hand and one as the eye, and you know, you see the bigger picture. So I'm not always sure, you know, how all that is supposed to work, but I've been amazed that reading the book of Revelations, when John saw Jesus Christ, he was in his glorified state, and John was just fell on his face. He was amazed because he was used to seeing Jesus, you know, as he just looked like another human being as he walked on the earth. But when he had that vision in the Isle of Patmos, he saw Jesus in his glorified state, and he truly was beautiful. And there's some description there of him. The thing that stood out to me is that Jesus, when John first saw this vision, he saw seven candlesticks. So you would have had like seven candles, I imagine probably in a semicircle or maybe a full circle, but they kind of arched around, it seems, because it said that the Son of Man was standing in the midst of them. So you have these seven candlesticks and these seven candles that are burning, and then you have Jesus in the midst of them. Well, in the hand of Jesus were seven stars. And so this is the picture that John saw. And then very soon, Jesus told John to get a book and start writing. And he said that I'm going to show you the mystery of this, what you're seeing of these seven candlesticks that I am standing in the midst of and the seven stars that I hold in my hand. And it says that the seven candlesticks are the seven churches in Asia. And those were churches that had been, I think, started by Paul. Some of them, you know, were started by a number of people, but I think Paul was involved there. And at the time, it appears like John was overseeing those churches or was, you know, kind of a father figure, kind of an apostle figure to those churches. And the Isle Patmos was actually out on the water, out in the sea there. And if you would draw a line to where the Isle Patmos is into those churches, it kind of forms a bit of a semicircle there because it appears like they were the seven churches that were closest to John at that, you know, in that geographical location. They were sort of along the shore there, some further inland than others, but they were kind of in a row. And so, but anyway, those seven churches that Jesus addressed there were obviously not the only churches that were existing at that time. And what the significance was that Jesus spoke to those seven and not to the others, I think has more to do with Jesus wanting to get a point across, and he was using those seven churches as a real-life illustration, perhaps, because it seems to me that there would have been things to be said about a lot of the other churches that were existing in those days, and there was something significant that Jesus wanted this to be written down, and, of course, now it is written down for us, and, you know, sometimes I get the impression here that these churches were obviously very different one from the other. Some had strength, others in some areas that others were weak in, you know, in the same area, and then vice versa. And they were kind of mixed. Each church had a list of positive things that Jesus Christ addressed first. And I find that interesting. But anyway, the seven stars were the messengers of those seven churches. So you have the seven candlesticks that were the churches themselves, and then the stars that Jesus held in his hand were the messengers. And if you really stop and think about that, how that beauty of that picture is that Jesus is standing in the midst of those churches. He's in the midst of them. He's mingling, he's intermingling with them. And he holds the angels of those churches, which I looked that word up in the Greek, and it says pastors and messenger, especially messenger. It also has the word pastor in there. In some places, you can read it as a bishop of the church. So it's very obvious that this angel that Jesus was speaking to had some kind of leadership in the church. Whether he, you know, what that all looked like, I'm not sure. But he was basically speaking to the person who was the shepherd of the church. And so Jesus was giving these messages to John. John was supposed to deliver them to the shepherds of the church, and then the shepherds were supposed to deliver them to the people. That's how this message was supposed to be given to these churches. So I was thinking about that, and I was realizing the first church that Jesus started talking about, he had some positive things. He had some good things to say. then there was also something that was not so good, and that was the fact that they had, let me just read here, they had left their first love. And I'm not sure what that looks like altogether, but I think it's pretty clear that if you look at it at a marriage, you lose your first love, meaning that honeymoon experience of being in love with your wife is no longer there, and it's more just coexisting together. There's no, it's just, it may not be a dysfunctional relationship or a relationship that, you hate each other, but it's basically just dry, It's just neutral. And that was the complaint that Jesus had against his first church. And it says that if they don't repent and recognize their error, he says, I will come and remove the candlestick. So now you have these, now you have Jesus, now you get back to the picture of the candlesticks, you have Jesus in the midst of these candlesticks, and they're one of them. And then he says, if they don't repent, he's going to remove them. And now, in other words, he's not going to, their candlestick is not going to be, or Jesus is not going to be in the midst of them. And I found that very sobering because, in light of the reality of the situation then, and realizing that we do actually live in the same in the same age and it's the same today as it was then, the thought does enter my mind, of course, how many churches are out there that are not even, their candlestick is not even amongst Jesus Christ. And that is a sobering thought. And, we can read here that in the next few verses here, in the next chapter to the following in Revelation, that Jesus Christ mentioned with every church, they had some things that were good, and then some of them had, rather sharp rebukes, others had more mild rebukes. There was things that Jesus was making clear that he hated. There was even one church where Jesus said they had the woman Jezebel speaking in the church, but then it even says that to some of them then he went on to say that she's causing a stumbling block and causing people to commit fornication. And then Jesus went on to say that same church, that those who aren't involved with that, he's not going to lay any other burden on them. So there it seemed like Jesus was making a distinction within the church. He was just addressing certain members of the church. Other members, he was saying, he has accepted them and will accept them. So I found it interesting that at the end of the day, when it really comes down to it, it will be those who have walked in purity and have as it says there in Matthew, have walked with Christ in the regeneration, will one day receive that white robe and will have a blessed home with Jesus Christ. And it was just a reminder, it was refreshing and a blessing again to read over these verses in these churches and to realize that there are certain things that will absolutely not be okay for us to be involved with. And then there's other certain things that, you know, we do that blesses Jesus Christ, and certain things that we do that causes heaven to rejoice. And I was just amazed that I just feel that humbling feeling, that small feeling here this morning, to realize that Jesus Christ, who is sitting in heaven today, actually cares enough to be in and among us as we serve him, and in and among our churches. It makes me realize the next time we're sitting in a church service and worshiping the Lord, how that, you know, Jesus Christ actually comes down, and or his spirit in the spirit, and is there intermingling among us and is with us there. It's truly a humbling picture. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may you be inspired to keep your eyes lifted upward and look for that blessed coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.